Thank you so much, and what a wonderful and powerful song that is. Our theme this year is to love your neighbor. And periodically throughout the year, we're going to go back to that theme and just look at Bible examples of that. This morning, I've entitled the message, How Not to Love Your Neighbor. Anybody ever have a bad neighbor? Just looking at the Surrettes and Brubakers to see if their hands were up or not. There are some, this week I thought, it'd be kind of fun to start the message with some stories, and I thought, I wonder if there's stories online about bad neighbors. Oh my. There's some really interesting stories about bad neighbors. One neighbor says, my house was yellow. My neighbor wouldn't stop complaining about how they hated the color. Then one time when I was away on a business trip, they had it painted white and tried to stick me with the bill. Okay. This neighbor, this one was the one that kind of really got me, spends his nights peering into everyone's windows and yards from his window or porch with his infrared goggles. Occasionally leaves notes like, nice movie you were watching in your living room last night, on the mailbox. We would be having a talk, I'm sure, after that. There were other, some of them were like, yeah, it's just true. Some of them were like, you're kidding me, right? I mean, line disputes. One neighbor, I saw a story, they were having a line dispute about where their line was, so the guy brought in truckloads of manure and put it on the line. I'm like, you know, that kind of backfires, because if the wind shifts a little bit, you know, it's like, 1 Samuel chapter number 25 is where we're going to be this morning. And we're going to look at the character of Nabal. How not to love your neighbor. That's pretty good truth in here about how not to love your neighbor. God kind of solves this problem, though, fairly quickly in the story. The nation is somewhat in a turmoil. Samuel has died, as verse 1 tells us, and Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered to mourn for him and so forth. Saul is king of Israel, but he's got one consuming desire: kill David. I don't care if the Philistines invade us. I don't care what else happens. Just kill David, and I lose all common sense about everything else. And we could see that if we looked at the book of 1 Samuel for sure. David has already made a name for himself by killing Goliath, escaping Saul on multiple occasions. And David had gathered a formidable army. There are 600 men in this army now. Many people believe that it is from this 400-man army that David, 400 eventually goes to deal with Nabal. There were 600 total, but it was from these men that David's elite guard was formed. And this elite guard, if you look at some of their stories in the Bible, these boys knew how to fight. Most people believe that almost all the ones listed in David's mighty men came from these men as well. So they weren't just fighters. They would have been elite fighters in the process. All right? It was very customary during these days to use these forces to block off marauders, raiders in pasture land and so forth. And David had done this, and his men had done this for Nabal and his large flocks. And so David thinks, okay, the custom is that when you provide a service that someone would pay you, and so he sent some young men to kind of gather what was rightfully his. And they're treated rudely is a kind way to say it, all right? And so that's how the story kind of unfolds for us. David arose in the middle of verse 25, it says, arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great. We're in 1 Samuel 25. And he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil. You've probably not used that word today, churlish. We'll get to that in a little bit. In his doings, And he was of the house of Caleb. I think it's interesting that the Holy Spirit uses that in here as well. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep, and David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. So they're not just coming in their name, they're coming in the name of David. And thus shall you say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. Shalom, the common Israeli Jewish greeting. And now I've heard that thou hast shears. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask the young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favor in thine eyes, and we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. So he didn't even demand a particular price. Whatever you'd like to give us to help us out, that'd be great. When David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? By the way, he wasn't trying to figure out who David was. That was a very derogatory, disrespectful statement. And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and given unto men whom I know not whence they be? You think he's got a little bit of a problem here? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told all these sayings. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up with David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. And one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the field. So he confirms what David's servant said. They were incredibly good to us. They were a wall unto us both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household. Can I tell you what he's really saying there? I know David. David will not let this rest. And by the way, custom said he shouldn't let it rest either. For he is such, speaking of his owner, Nabal, he is such a man of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. And Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. If she could put her hands on that amount of food that quickly, how much food do you think he actually had? She said unto her servant, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so as she rode on the ass that she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he that hath requited me evil for good. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave all that pertain to him by morning light, any that pisseth against the wall. When Abigail saw David, she hastened and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face, bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said unto him, upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thy handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, see then the Lord hath withholding thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand. Now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. Now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not found in thee all thy days. You know what that verse tells me? They knew everything that was going on in the kingdom and everything that was going on with David. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies even shall be sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, they knew he was going to be king, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, neither that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself, but when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself for mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been any left unto Nabal by the morning light, any that pisseth against the wall. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and accepted thy person. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing less or more until the morning light. And it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, and his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died. How not to be a neighbor. How not to be a neighbor. You must realize that how we treat people is noticed by people and can bless or curse us. How we treat people is noticed by people and it can bless or curse us. I want us to see, number one this morning, the place. This would have been a location in the wilderness of the wilderness wanderings. It was desolate. It was a dangerous place to be. It was a place that could have easily been raided by invading nations or marauders or just a band of cutthroats, if you will. It is largely uninhabited and barren. It was a place that they would drive cattle and just let them graze, and their people would be out there kind of unprotected. It could have places of oasis, but these were not even common. Matter of fact, Psalm 78 and verse 19 says, yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Moan is located about 8 miles south of Hebron. And this would have been a place that a man was, if he was smart, he needed friends. You couldn't do this alone, if you will. Carmel was a town of the mountains on the west side of the Dead Sea, kind of south of Hebron as well. There is another Carmel that you think of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. That would have been in the north part of the kingdom. This was in the southern part of the kingdom. This place would be a place that would cause you to be alert at all times. It was regularly raided, if you will. Matter of fact, we can go to other Bible stories. We're not going to do that this morning. But other Bible stories where this lower part of Israel were regularly raided. You say, well, okay, why is this such a big deal? This is a big deal because it is this location and this group of people that first accepts David as king of Israel. He rules over them before he rules the rest of the kingdom. Abigail makes an appeal to David that says, hey, by the way, we know that you're going to be king, and when you be king, don't let this be a blot on your record. If David had slaughtered all these men that were a part of him, even if people had thought it was justified, it might have caused them not to be so quick to make David king. That's a possibility. We don't know that for sure, but I think it's interesting in this story. Where you're located does make a difference. Do you know where you're located? Are you in a wilderness situation? And I'm not trying to add to scripture here. I'm just saying where we are should make us be more alert to the situations around us. Nabal, he could care less about this. So the place, but number two, let's look at the people. There are really three primary people in the passage of scripture. Two of them we're going to concentrate on. First off, Nabal. His name means fool. And his wife says, so is his name, that's really what he is. His name means fool. He's pretty much a fool. That's what his wife says about him. The Bible says that he was a great man in verse 1. We think of that as being, oh, he was a great man. Oh, that's neat. Well, it can mean an intense man or a haughty man or a large man. Okay, and probably all of those applied to him because we're going to see the rest of the story play out. Okay, he was a rich man. Matter of fact, if you do some comparisons, He was probably about half as rich as Job was in the first couple of chapters of Job. That'll give you an idea. Job was fairly wealthy, okay? He's not quite at Job's half, but pretty close in that process. Then the Bible says that he's churlish. That word means hard, cruel, severe, obstinate, fierce, intense, vehement, stubborn, stiff-necked. Any one of them we would not want said about us. Just one of them. And this is exactly who this guy is. This is not a guess about his character. This is what God says about him. This is what he recorded in Scripture. He was a churlish man. Then the Bible says he was evil in his doings. In other words, everything he did was punctuated with evil. The idea behind it is, even if he tried to do quote-unquote something good, it was punctuated with evil. Everything about him was evil. But I think it's interesting that the Holy Spirit of God, he could have left it out, but he chooses to tell us, and he was of the house of Caleb. You know, what's the significance about that? He had a good heritage. He had a godly heritage. He had people that he could look back on. And by the way, these characteristics in a good side, fierce, determined, that kind of stuff, we could see that in Caleb, can't we? Give me this mountain. I want it. But it's interesting when we take a good characteristic that God gives us to use for him and we use it for evil, how dangerous it is. The Bible says that he railed on them. Some of your Bibles may have a little note that says to fly upon them. He screamed at them. So the idea, whatever position he was in when the young men came and they paid all their respects, shalom, you know, da-da-da-da, this is what happened, we'd like to ask you, whatever you feel is good in your heart, just go ahead and give it to us. And the idea is that if he were on a stage like this, he would have jumped down at them and just screamed at the top of his lungs, "Who do you think you are?" That's the idea behind it. The whole camp could have heard him, probably. And so the boys leave and go tell David. And David's going to prove who he is. His wife and his servants call him a son of Belial. That's a worthless man. A worthless man. And then the servant says something interesting. He says, nobody can speak to him. He's totally unapproachable. He's unapproachable. I've often thought from this story, how did the servants know to go to Abigail? Do you think this guy had had dealings like this with someone else? It's very likely. Do you think it's possible that Abigail saved all their bacon before? That's also very likely. But the servants know one thing about David. David's not going to put up with this. And custom says that he shouldn't have. We'll get to that in just a minute. Are you hard, stubborn, unapproachable, evil, and worthless? Like, wow, Pastor, that's a boatload. I know it is. But what do people think of you? How do others see you? How would people that work for you, how would your mate describe you? You gutsy enough to ask them? I have another message from this passage. If you've been in Emmanuel years and years and years, you've probably heard it. The title of the message, and I talk just about how men treat other people, is how to be a jerk and enjoy it. That he's a jerk with a capital J. I mean, that's just all you can say about it, right? And nobody wants to be around him. And in essence, the servant saying, Abigail, if you don't do something, we're all dead men. All of us are going to die for the way he is. Then we see Abigail, the second person in the story. What a difference. She's pleasant and agreeable. She's insightful. She showed prudence. Verse 3 tells us about that. She was a woman of good understanding. Oh, and on top of that, she was really pretty. She was beautiful to look on. You're like, how did she get with him? because she didn't have a choice in those days. Her daddy probably sold her to him for the highest bidder, and he had plenty of money. So here's this sweet, pretty lady stuck with this guy. Amazing. And the servants know when we need something to kind of keep us alive, we can go to her. And so they go and tell her, this is what happened. And if you don't do something, we know David, he's going to come get retribution on this. And by the way, everything David said, they treated us. It was fantastic. They were a wall to us. We had no worries about any marauders or anything coming and raiding us. It was perfect. Well, not only that, but Abigail was humble. Verses 23 and 24 and verse 41 talk about that. She comes and says, she bows before David, and she says, all the sin be on me. I'll take the blame for it. In essence, she's saying, I didn't know the young men came to the camp. I didn't have a chance to talk to them. I would have helped them if they've come. But I got all this food here. And by the way, the rest of the story, after God takes out her husband, David takes her to wife. Do you know how she responds when David comes to take her to wife? Let me just wash the feet of David's servants. That's her response. What a lady. What an incredible lady this is. How is your disposition towards others? You see the disposition immediately contrasted with how he is and how she is. Are you willing to humble yourself? The third character in the story is David. We're not going to spend time on David this morning, but David was a warrior. He was a leader of men, but I think it's important that David was a listener, and he was sensitive. You read the Bible. David was no wimp. He was a warrior of warriors. And yet he was willing to listen to a lady. Now, by the way, men, we are to listen to our wives. It'd be real helpful for us, because there's just times they know a lot more than we do in some areas. But can I say, although that ought to always be a characteristic of a leader, in this day and age, this was a bigger deal than you can imagine. Because women were basic scuzzbags. I mean, they were worthless. Their testimony wasn't worth anything in court. They were totally worthless people. And for David, a warrior, a future king of Israel, to listen to her and stop what he was planning to do and say, I'm thankful that you gave this wise counsel, that I didn't do something crazy today. That's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing that David is that kind of leader. Can you listen to others when their opinion is counter to yours? Maybe they might have a better opinion than you do. So we see the place that they were at. We see the people of the story. But let's look quickly at number three, the proposal. What was David's men asking? The men were not coming in their name. They were coming in David's name. Verse 5 tells us that. They tried to be friendly and not demanding. Three times they used normal greetings. Shalom to you, shalom to your house, shalom to your business type deal. Hope everything's great with you. By the way, this is what we did. Whatever you find in your heart to give us would be fine. The guy could have given him a stipend. Here's a cluster of grapes. Here's a turkey leg. See you later, you know. I think David would have probably still reacted to that, but he wouldn't even do that. Nothing. David and his men earned their sustenance by making reprisals on cattle of those freebooting Ishmaelites, the raid and marauding parties. And frequently, for their useful services, they obtained voluntary tokens of acknowledgement in peaceful inhabitants. In other words, inhabitants of the area were willing to pay for this protection because it totally eliminated tons of loss for them. It was a common practice in this time. Because David and his name had provided them with safety, could they then provide them some food? David could prove that he had provided for them a service. And he says to them, ask your young men, how were they when we were with them? This indicates that there was danger that they avoided because of David's men. And we see that when the man actually says to Abigail, they were a wall to us day and night. Do you realize what David's men did then? Even in night watches, who was standing security over the flocks and the men of Nabal? David's men were. and nothing happened to them. Nothing happened to them. Their protection, another writer has said, their protection creates a claim of some kind of tribute in the shape of supplies of food and necessities, which is usually given with great goodwill and gratitude, and when withheld, is enforced as a right. Nabal's refusal, therefore, was a violation of established usage of the place. In other words, if we were to put it in modern day language, this was public grazing ground. And if someone protected your flocks when they were in the public grazing ground, it was expected of you that you pay them for that service. So his refusal wasn't just, hey, you're some beggar out there who's left your master. And who is David anyway? Whatever. No, I'm not going to pay you. He was actually violating an established code in that area. And everybody knew that if you violate that code, it is well within the right of the protectors to raid you. That's what happens. So David was well within his right. And the men, by the way, of this passage knew that. They're like, can I just tell you what the code is around here? He didn't give them any food. David and his men have every right to come and raid us, and that's exactly what they're doing. And he says, I can tell you right now, David's on his way. And he was. Those men were exactly right. The young men had done everything that David had asked them. They'd ask him, what do you want to give us? The proposal. Do you demand or ask? When you need something, do you demand or ask? At this point, it's not a matter of your right, but of your ministry. So you can be this kind of neighbor to your neighbors. And you're like, well, it's my right. Okay, we're not talking about rights. We're talking about the ability to minister to people. Number four, the problem. What happens, and I want to just quickly move through this. Number one, the problem is that he disrespects David. Who is David? Not only does he disrespect David, but he disrespects his dad. And who is the son of Jesse? That was something, by the way, in Middle Eastern culture, even today, you don't do. You just don't disrespect people. It's considered one of the worst things you can do to someone is disrespect them or their family name. Nabal could care less. Number two, he denies the request. No, I'm not going to give you anything. Forget it. Get out of here. Number three, there's danger coming. The problem is 400 men are marching down on him. They had the ability to utterly slaughter them. These men were good warriors. You just think about, these men were not only good warriors, but they were really good at stealth. Saul had been looking for them for a long time. These men could live in a wilderness. They could live in a cave. They could do whatever. And again, I wish we took the time this morning, but we don't have the time to go look at some of the accomplishments of these men. Do you remember just one story where their city is burned with fire and their wives and children are taken and 400 of them go? It's a pretty good whooping they give them old boys before it's all said and done. These boys could fight. The danger was not just to Nabal, it was to everyone in the camp. They assumed that was the case, and David said so. So now we've involved other people in this ridiculousness. Well, number four, there was a determination of evil. Evil is determined of us. It's coming. But I want us to see number five, and quickly, the prudence. So what does the wife do? How does she respond to this? Well, she immediately jumps into action. She gathers an abundance of food to meet David's needs. And when you see that list, you're like, oh, did you just have that left over in your pantry? I mean, this is quite an impressive list here. Look at what they're, 200 loaves. Hello? She didn't buy them at Walmart. That's a lot of bacon. Even if you got servants, that's a lot of bacon. 200 loaves. 2 bottles of wine. By the way, these were probably large sheepskins. Could have held 5-10 gallons apiece. So this is, we're not talking about, 5 sheep ready dressed, 5 measures of parched corn, 100 clusters of raisins. 100. I don't know how big the raisins were, but I know how big they used to be in the land that flowed with milk and honey, right? 200 cakes of figs. That's quite a provision. We see her actions. We see her attitude. She was humble, apologetic, appealing. It's noticed immediately the attitude change. Rather than being cocky and railing on them, she's humble before David. But number three, she offers advice. And this to me is amazing because she's a woman. And in this culture, that wasn't something that you do. But she said to David, David, can I appeal to you? One day you're going to be king. God is going to place you in that position. We all know it. And God has been so good to you, your enemies can't find you. Don't put a blot on your record, David. You're not going to want to do this. And David listens to her. She is concerned about the reproach that might bring to David in the future. Now, is she concerned about the lives of the people that she's serving with? I'm sure, absolutely. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:3, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Do others know you as being prudent, foreseeing evil and trying to avoid it? Are you imprudent in both attitude and in action? We think of Abigail as quite the lady because of how she responded to this difficult situation. And lastly, number six, we see the penalty. God took it into his hands. When Nabal realized what almost happened to him, by the way, she waits until he's sober, which tells you more about his attitude. He's got abundance enough to throw a party like a king. But he couldn't help out David's men any. The selfishness a part of him. And he's drunk by the time she gets home. So she says, I think I'll wait to tell him till the morning. So she says, by the way, I took some food to David and his men because a 400-man army was marching to destroy you. And the Bible says that his heart seized up. Some believe he had a heart attack, some a stroke. It really doesn't matter. 10 days later, God said, you're done. And he kills him. God won't put up with this kind of person long, especially when he begins to deal with his servants that way. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 6 tells us that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Be careful. Abigail says, let God deal with this, and David did, and God dealt with it. By the way, he dealt with the one who was actually wrong and spared everyone else. David would have killed them all. Now, I don't know this. The Bible doesn't say it. I'm not trying to add to Scripture with it. But do you think that the servants and people that were serving with Nabal went with Abigail? I think that's a good degree of possibility. They obviously knew they could approach her. They obviously knew what kind of lady she was. They obviously knew what kind of leader David was by how he responded to Abigail. If I'm a servant, I want to follow that. What happened to all his wealth? Did it feed David's army for a while? Possible. We don't have any children here. We don't have anything listed for us. We don't know that. The Bible doesn't tell us that, but it's an interesting process anyway. God knows how to get wrongs done for you justified. So are you willing to let God handle the wrongs done to you? We so much want to handle it ourselves, don't we? God says, I can take care of that. What kind of neighbor are you? If I went to your neighborhood and surveyed and said, hey, this is the Bible describes a man by the name of Nabal. Here are these characteristics. Oh, yeah, that's my neighbor. I doubt you are that way. I sure hope you're not that kind of neighbor. Let's not be those kind of people. How would the people that know you describe you? Are you prudent? Do you have the right kind of character that God wants to use in people's lives? How not to love your neighbor. Nabal's a great example of how we should not love our neighbor. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can go to it. And you've preserved these stories in Scripture for a reason. New Testament tells us they're there for our learning. And so we pray that we would take heed to them. And Lord, this morning as we have an opportunity to respond to the truth of your word, it would be easy for us to say, well, I'm not all those things that Nabal is. But if we're not careful, we can have some of those characteristics. Help us not to be those kind of people. And we'll thank you for it. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Would you quietly stand to your feet? I just want to ask you, as you're meditating there before the Lord, can you be stubborn with people? Can you be unapproachable to people? How's your attitude towards others? Maybe this morning, God has said, hey, that area right there, you may not be everything that Nabal was. I hope you're not. Or maybe you're not what Abigail was. Would you let the Holy Spirit work in your heart this morning? As they begin to quietly play, would you respond? If God's working another area of your life, would you come? God spoken to your heart this morning? An area that you need to work on?